April is here, and if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
You're listening to the Go Birds podcast.
That I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is H2OV.
Marks and Reese with Elliot. Tuesdays with Elliot. Twitter questions brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers annual men's night out. It's back December 15th. Do all your holiday shopping on one night. Details online, marks-jewelers.com. Two weeks ago, Darren Sproles in a podcast or an interview, I forget with who, kind of threw his hat.
Kay Adams, right?
It was okay.
With Kevin Adams.
With Ike's girl, Kay Adams.
Whoa.
Well, I mean, he's a multiple-time guest.
That's what I'm saying. You're the Eagles regular. Elliot hasn't been on there. You know, they could go to the Eagles reporter.
Right. She hasn't asked me.
Right. So
probably after hearing that last debate, she won't be asking me anytime soon either. You
probably
know?
Not.
Yeah.
Hey, neither's did Mrs. Hertz unblock you yet, or are you still?
Now I'm with her now. Yes.
Yeah. Well, Ike's threatening to mute me, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Had more to do with Joe than
I know.
You know.
Yeah. I'll just support
Jillio. But because
Jillio.
You promoted it, exactly.
It's an interesting thought.
Did Spike
they can't pass the ball, but he might be the best franchise quarterback of all. Yeah.
Right. He's the best quarterback of all time. Yeah. No, but that's because of, he's a great quarterback. He can do it all.
Right.
Just not throwing the ball, Elliot. So Darren Sproles.
I didn't say that.
Darren Sproles, Britton Covey is, he's struggling. Darren Sproles is like, hey, I can play. Uh-huh. Right? I could still get out there. Ike Reese many times has said he couldn't get out there for one play, so he can't help special teams.
Uh-huh. Although this special teams, honestly, you just run the right place, I feel like you would.
No, I actually think even by not going on the field, if you were just screaming and yelling before a game, you would get guys ready.
The emotional leader of the unit.
Yesterday on the show, people were ready to stop the kickoff. Literally, just people out there. Anyway, so Malcolm Jenkins,
there
speaking to John Clark. Do you have it, Jack? Here's Malcolm Jenkins.
I don't think y'all need me, to be honest. So I'll just be here in spirit. But, you know, you ask me that later in December, I don't know.
Well, in case something happens and they need you. I mean, CJ, you said, is playing out of position. Maybe you could get back into position. But it's just interesting. You see all these guys, 34, 35, Yeah. You know, get in here in November and December and get that one last play. Chance.
If that's what you're asking me, John, I can still play. I'm still in shape. I'm still working out. You know, it's not far-fetched. I'm still in it. But, you know, it is – I do enjoy my seat of watching as a fan. But I could definitely, you know, I could come in for a stretch.
Oh, so that was Malcolm Jenkins on John Clark's podcast.
See where Eric Waddle has started.
Yeah, seriously.
Right. No, seriously. I mean, and that's what guys are being asked now. Yeah. And it's all off of Weddle. So CJ Gardner-Johnson, it comes out, lacerated kidney. Any idea on a timetable, Elliot? I mean,
I think you're looking at least 3 to 4 weeks, if not more. And that'll be the tough thing. Are they going to put him on IR? If you remember, Zach Ertz played. He had a lacerated kidney. I think it was 2019. Huh. He missed one game and came back. That was for a playoff game, though, right? So, you know, a little more urgency to get back out there.
He probably was hurting like hell, man.
And yeah, I mean, a lot of people thought he shouldn't have played, right? So he really, like, put himself out there for that. I think an interesting dynamic of this, too, is Gardner Johnson is a free agent at the end of the year. So, you know, I just wonder, I'm sure he wants to come back and play and win and all those things. But if I'm him, selfishly, like, I'm making sure I'm 110% before I go back out there. A, because it's a lacerated was clean, right? So like that's certainly very worrisome. But also he needs to hit the free agency market healthy. He goes back out there, he breaks his ribs again, something like that. He's favoring it, so he pulls a hamstring. Like for me,
and if he's not healthy, he looks bad out there.
Play well.
Yeah, he doesn't play well.
And you figure his value's at an all-time high right now. He's leading the league in interceptions when he got hurt. So I think that's another interesting dynamic of when he'll be back.
Yeah, I mean, because he's definitely been noticed around the league this year. He leads the league in interceptions, yeah. But also it'd be nice if he was down the stretch and in the playoffs if he's continuing to make plays, right?
Well, I think that's the bigger concern with the injuries is not that they're not going to play for the next 3 or 4 weeks. It's not that. It's that are these guys going to be 100% when they come back? Like when they return to the field,
right?
Will they be the same players they were when they left the field, right? Like, the Goddard injury. Now, I think that's a pretty clean injury. It's not a lower body injury, which I think is harder to recover from. But if the key to the passing game is getting Goddard back out there and you're counting on him being the exact same version, I would be a little worried about that because he's going to end up missing a lot of time. Avante Maddox, that's a hamstring injury, right? Like, that's really hard to recover from in season, even if you have all that time off. So I think these guys will be back for the playoffs. Jordan Davis might even play this week against the Titans. But I don't know what version of Jordan Davis you're going to get.
Right.
So that's the concern for me is later on in the year when they're actually playing games they, like, have to win, mm-hmm. will those guys be the players they were before?
Malcolm? Yeah. I mean, that's just kind of a question. You don't expect it. I mean, how he might be getting every old guy on off the bench and in here. Who knows?
My concern with Malcolm would be he reminds me a little bit like, all right, so when the Eagles brought Jalen in, they were like, all right, he'll be the backup. It's a hype, right? But Jalen is too much of like a person, too much of a leader, right? Like he won the locker room over in a way, right? My thing with Malcolm would be he could say he's going to come in and be happy to be a backup. He can say all that. Is he really going to come into this locker room that has great things going and just kind of just blend in, or is he too much of a natural leader where he's not going to be okay taking a back seat, being a backup? That would be my concern. I do think he can probably still play at a higher level than like Reed Blankenship right now, because Reed's an undrafted rookie in his first year, obviously. I just don't know about the dynamics of adding Malcolm to this locker room.
What do you think, Ike?
Listen, I love Malcolm as a player, and I love him as a leader here. That would be part of it. How does it affect the dynamics of the locker room? You know, I think he's got a lot of respect in that locker room, even with some of the older guys that they brought back. So I don't think it would be an issue per se. And he played with CJ down in New Orleans. So they know each other. I don't think that would be an issue.
And he's not coming in and playing every snap of the game.
Right.
He would be a role player.
Look, it might not be a problem. I just know the Malcolm I covered. And it was a different team, for sure. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But he was, you know, the guy, the leader of the defense, the guy that talked after every game. And I think that, and I mean this as a compliment towards him, like that's who
he was. Damn near the leader of the team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too big of a personality
100%.
For a guy that's not coming in and being
right.
the starter.
I think he's such a natural, like, guys gravitate to him so much. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think he's a good guy to gravitate to, so maybe it's not a problem. But the thing they have going down there right now is working so well from, like, a culture perspective, the vibes, all those things. I don't know. He's a big personality to add into there.
There you go.
Yeah, he had to mesh with those coaches too, though, man.
He's like the same age as a lot of them.
Yeah,
too, so.
Yeah, really. So,
well, you can yell again, and he takes it. He just yeah, be like, say, yeah, well, maybe they're right.
The last thing you need is him and Fletcher deciding they don't like what Gannon's doing one
right.
week.
Yeah, Fletcher did that last year.
Yeah,
they changed it real fast. Let's go to Steve in South Philly. Steve, how are you?
Johnny Marks, Ike Reese, what up, dude?
What's up, Steve?
Man, I feel like it's Groundhog Day, like we caught in a loop. I was having this conversation with you guys last year, and mainly you, Johnny Marks. It comes down to, it's like people eat steak. Some people like it rare. Some people like it well done, but it's still steak. Mm-hmm. You guys have a preference.
Well, not a well done. It's
well. I accidentally ordered my steak well done this past week. It was,
yeah, not a well done.
What, did you slip on a banana peel and said well done instead of
no? For
else?
Some reason, I said very well done, and that thing came burnt.
What?
Yeah. I was deep at that.
No, but I'm saying it's just styles, and it's like, you know, for the style that you like, I'm sure a bunch of those Packers season tickets holders and a lot of the Drew Brees Saints season tickets holders, they love seeing people throw the ball all over the field and prolific passing game. And all them quarterbacks, I'm going to run my famous line I've been saying for the last year and a half, they got the same amount of chips as Nick Foles got. I'm not impressed. It's like, yeah, you can do that, but then at the end of the day, why doesn't Aaron Rodgers have? Because he didn't
comes
have
up
a
small
second,
and big. He comes up small and big.
Gear.
Big
they
spots.
Needed a running game to go to. Because if it's just going to be throw. So I'm not saying
he's
you don't
no,
need
but
to
but
be
Steve
able to
but Steve
ball.
See it's, here's Wait, why here's hang on a second here's why I disagree with you. He comes up small in big spots. It's not. I mean, that's the bigger thing. Jalen has shown that he could. He looks like he's a big game player, right? Like Aaron Rodgers comes up small in big spots. He's lost a lot of games. He's lost home games, NFC Championship games. That's more of a reason than it being a running or a passing offense, right? They're fine in the regular season winning all those games. He comes up small in those big games.
You agree? I threw Drew Brees in there for a reason. He's another one. 5,000 yards, yeah. Chucking it all over the ball. Oh, he just comes up small at the big, because what I'm basically saying is this, is like there are different ways to win. Some people love to see that air attack, but I've seen the Ravens win with defense and running. I've seen
how many
seen
years
Peyton,
ago
wait,
was that?
Wait. I've seen Peyton Manning
saying.
Get dragged across the
field. Yeah, and that was that
twice.
Was also how long
twice.
Ago was that?
Wait,
seven,
wait,
8 years ago,
16.
Can I finish one?
Go
thing?
Ahead, my bad.
And one other false narrative. Can we just correct this? Because you had last year before the playoff game, you had kind of came around to like, yeah, I see what Jalen's doing. I see the improvement. Then right after the playoff game, you jumped off because the narrative that's being pushed is, oh, a team shut down the run and they didn't know what to do. Can we actually mention the fact context matters? Can we mention the fact that his ankle was jacked up?
See, you want to – see,
can
Steve
– can we throw that into the mix? Because it makes a difference.
Okay, that's you, fine. That's fine. It does, especially when you rely so much on that ankle to provide for your offense, right? That's the other part of it. But, Steve, like you and some other people are trying to make this all about Jalen Hurts. And I even heard Elliott say this. This isn't about Jalen Hurts necessarily. It's about the passing offense. It's about the coaching. It's about the play calling.
It feels like it's about Jalen Hurts.
It's not all about Jalen Hurts. See, Steve, like here's what I would honestly ask.
Feels like
it's partially.
There we go. There's an admission.
I mean, no, I'll be honest. Like, yeah. I mean, let's be real. Like, if Jalen wants $45 million, he's got to show he can run a better passing offense than he has the last month.
Now we're talking. See, now I can get
to it. I'm willing to admit it.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, then, that's okay then.
Yeah. It's not, but to be clear, I'm not out on Jalen all
saying.
Those things.
No, I'm not saying that. But like, you're saying the question mark
he
is
the biggest part of the passing game.
Okay.
Like, if Goddard's the reason they can't pass the ball, then why is it Goddard making $45 million?
No, but like, here's the thing, right?
That's not the sole reason.
No, but I'm saying, the way, that's how he's talked about it. Yes. I think Goddard's awesome, but he's not the reason they haven't been able to pass the ball the last 4 months.
So, I mean, I want to try to get this down to the most basic level of the conversation. Because right now, if you speak anything negative on the Eagles, people don't want to hear it. Because the team's 10-1 and people are very happy. And I understand that. The team is 10-1. It's been a great season so far through 11 games. Mm-hmm. Totally understandable. I agree. All right. This isn't coming on and crapping on the Eagles and saying they suck because the passing offense sucks.
Right.
This is about what your biggest concern is, not just right at the second, but also going forward into the playoffs, right? And my biggest concern at the most simple level is when I watch them play right now, I question whether or not the league is adjusted to what they're doing offensively in the passing game. Because they're not the same team passing the ball. They're just not. I mean, is that because of Devontae being the lead receiver because AJ is a little bit banged up, or is that because of missing Dallas Goedert? Outside of the Pittsburgh game, and Pittsburgh sucks. Outside of, at least they did at the time, the defense.
Good game last night.
They did. But at the time, their defense was banged up, and their secondary's not good.
Yeah.
Outside of that game, there hasn't been a great passing performance. Even in that game, A.J. Brown went up and made a great throw. It was a 50-50 ball. He went up and made a great throw. And that loss to Washington, he didn't make the same kind of catch. So, I mean, that's the only thing. If we're talking about this is a 10-1 team, this is a conversation about them winning the Super Bowl. The biggest concern with why you think the Eagles wouldn't win the Super Bowl, I don't know how you can't say it wouldn't be the passing game. They're not a proven passing team. They're just not. It's hard to win in the NFL running the football like this once you come into the playoffs.
But they can throw it. They throw it. I've seen them.
They're better in the passing game than last year.
For what it's worth,
you're saying, okay, let me see. Okay, you guys are saying it's not good enough for you.
Right now, it is not good enough.
Okay.
Correct. And they did it earlier in the year, but it's getting close to like 50-50. We're talking about seven games versus four. I know it's not exactly 50.
I know what you're saying.
It's not 9-1.
When are the Eagles offensively, when are they at their best?
Oh, when they got a balanced attack.
They're at their best when Jalen's doing a little bit of everything and he's making big plays. And you're right, when they have a balanced attack, when they're able to throw the ball and run the ball.
I would be curious to know how many teams we thought were legit Super Bowl contenders that we would also agree are better running the ball than throwing it. Like the Chiefs are better throwing it.
49ers are better running than throwing.
49ers are, yeah. Mm-hmm. Dallas is probably 50-50 or at least close to it.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
the Bills.
They need that running for Dak, though. They do. They need the running. I think it's more important for them they can run the ball than they can throw the ball. Because if you're relying on Dak to throw the ball 70% of the time, you're not going to. I don't think you're going to win.
But I think the Niners are the only one where, like, we don't trust the quarterback. Like, I think Dak, I know his playoff record's not great, but we would all agree.
Yeah, you shouldn't trust him, but for some reason,
but we all
some
know
people
he's
do.
Like a top 10 guy, right? Like, all these other teams have top 10 quarterbacks that I think we trust to throw the ball.
You don't think Dak's
a top 10 guy?
But, I mean, he's right outside the 10.
He's right around that.
I know, we'd have to go through it.
But I know.
Plus, we've had several drop out this year that aren't very
exactly,
good.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you're right. He might be.
I mean, Kyle, like, you know, you got to fill the spots out.
Yeah.
Is it that you see? Because it's not that I don't, like, we use the word you don't trust the quarterback. It's not that I don't trust Jalen. I just don't know if he's there at this point in his career that if a good defense came in and said, we're taking this away from you, you're not going to run, you're not going to be able to run, and we're not going to let you run the ball. If this offense is good enough to throw the ball to win a game.
See, here's what I hear, and here's what fans hear. When they hear you don't trust the passing game, the initial thought is you don't trust the quarterback. Like, or you got to go, because now we can't point to the wide receivers. Everybody loves the wide receivers.
Right.
Right?
It's not the line.
It's not the offensive line. So I just, when you hear this, I'm not saying that's what you're saying. I'm just telling you what people hear when you say you don't trust the passing game. Because if the Chiefs had to go to running the football for four games, no one would then say, oh, what the hell's going on with the Chiefs? Pat Mahomes can't throw the ball anymore. No, it's just what you had to do to get through these games. You know, Buffalo, we've seen other teams, other quarterbacks who have enough of that cachet already built up.
That's, I think.
And the resume.
That's the difference.
I got you.
Jalen has, again, he would probably get my MVP vote through 11 games. Like, Mahomes is there too, but Jalen's been that good, right?
Yeah.
But we also have to accept that, like, Jalen is not a proven commodity.
Okay.
And especially when it comes to throwing the ball. Like, it's just a reality. This team, for the majority of Jalen's time at quarterback, has been not good throwing the ball. Now, he has really improved this year. I do agree that, like, last year probably doesn't matter a ton. But you just talk about a track record. He's been the starter for, what, 22 games? Probably more than that, actually.
Yeah.
Closer to 30, right? Yeah. And they've been really good throwing the ball for, like, 8 or 9 of them. So when they go through stretches, when it doesn't look good, of course my alarm's going to go up and go like, uh-oh, let's see them get this back. Because it's not like if they don't run the ball for 3 games, I mean, I'm saying, well, they can't do it anymore. Because just like when Mahomes is a bad few games, you're able to say, well, we know
you're
he can do it, right?
Ball, yeah.
So that's why when they win 40-33, but they do it with Jalen running it 17 times, running the ball, you're like, yeah, it's awesome, all those things. It's good they got the win. They're going to get home field advantage. But it just, like, when I was watching that game, to me, I was thinking this is concerning because I don't think they're going to win, or it's going to be a lot harder to win long term if it's going to be Jalen running it all those times and leaning on the running game.
Let's go to Yoshi. Yoshi in Brewery Town. Yoshi?
Man, what's up, John? Big, all right.
What's up, Yoshi?
What's up, Yoshi?
What's up, E-Man? Hey.
What up?
Man, you know what? I'm so with you on that raft with that paddle, man, because it really, and Elliot was saying he finally inched it out and said, partially. It is about Jalen, man. I mean, this dude took a great big step. He didn't take a step. He took a great big step. And then we keep living off last year in the playoffs. Last year in the playoffs, like I said earlier, Jalen couldn't do nothing. He didn't have no weapons. But now the boy, what's his name, QBR, 106.5, that 67.3 completion percentage. He's throwing the ball all over the field. He's showing he can make the tight window throw. He can make the deep ball. Look at him. He can hit the back shoulder throw.
Well, Yoshi, let me ask you really quick, though. If he can do all those things, right, why haven't they been able to do it the last month?
Let me finish saying what I got to say.
Okay.
This
is Yoshi's show. My bad.
Well, no, he doesn't. He's like Black Gritty. There's not a lot of back and talk. He does stuff.
Yeah,
my bad.
Yes.
Yeah, my bad. I guess it's why just his thoughts on there.
Talk me on Ike's show. I ain't OG Wade. This is my show. I'm just in here. The thing is, man, what's the name? Like, right now, these defenses that we've been playing outside of Pittsburgh, like Johnny said, what's the thing? These defenses are good in the pass game. Their weakness has been run defense. So why not run the ball? And then when we've had to make a big throw, Jalen has made the throw. I mean, we got to stop being scared and living on last year. I'm confident. My concern is keeping bodies on the field and the special teams. Ain't nobody worried about if this team can pass the ball. And we're going to get bodies back. We're going to get Dallas back. Then everybody, AJ, what's his name? He's going to gain his weight back. His eye going to clear up. Everybody's going to be what they need to be. Like, come on, man. Stop being scared. Go ahead, Ellie. Let me hear what you got to say, man. Because you wanted to talk.
No, right, how's that? Right. I thought you dropped him. Yeah, well, you did drop him. All right, yeah. Again, I'm just saying, let's all be honest. The passing game has been bad for a month. And coming into the year, we all agreed the most important thing was they had to improve passing the ball. So then when it's bad, I don't think we can all just sit back and go, oh, no big deal. Like, I just want to see them do it again. That's all I'm saying. I want to see them do it again. I don't want to see them win with Jalen running all over the field because he's going to get hurt. Like, if he keeps running these quarterback draws, don't you think eventually a team is just going to accept a 15-yard penalty and take a shot at him?
I mean, I would.
Right.
He took some bad hits against the
Packers. You would think, and the counter to that is when you look at quarterbacks that have been injured this year, it happens in the pocket a lot, too, where, you know, and so Jalen could get injured running, but if you're running 16, 17 times a game, you're putting yourself up out there that much more because if you're dropping back 30 times, mm-hmm. right, like you still have a chance to get a hit there. Then if you're running the ball that much, I mean, I guess one of my problems with the offense is that it just feels like they would rather play like this. You agree with that? Like,
yeah.
It feels like this is the way that they want to play, which is
I think it's what they're better at.
Yes.
It's what they're better at. They're better running the ball. That doesn't mean that on a huge, like, full season scale, they're bad at it. But again, right. over the last 4 weeks, their passing yards per game would be 31st in the NFL.
I hear that. And see, I guess with me, and here's where I've sort of transitioned to, I just accept that. Right? Like, I had the visions of having, you know, quarterbacks that could sit back there, drop back, throw the ball, and get you 280 to 320, 2 to 3 touchdowns a week. You at least would expect that, right? You almost have to be resigned to the idea, you know what? He is not necessarily a cookie-cutter quarterback where you can sort of just place him in there. You're going to have to accept the odd-looking stats and the numbers because the W is all that really matters, right? And to me, it's different than Jimmy G. Jimmy G is a game manager. Is a game manager.
For sure.
He's not going to beat you with his legs. Doesn't mean he can't make throws or make timely throws. Mm-hmm. I would almost give him a little bit better than a game manager because, you know.
He's won some playoff
games. Yeah, he's won playoff games. And I'm not going to get into the fact that he won an NFC title game only throwing the ball 8 times and they ran the ball the entire game.
Yeah, that was, the Niners are your team. Yeah.
You know, like, I only say that to say because that's how I kind of had to view my quarterback a little bit. Mm-hmm. Is that I can't worry about the numbers being pretty. I just have to look at the final results. And they're going to be a little disjointed some weeks. He may give you 100 rushing and 150 passing. But if he's giving you the timely yards, he's picking up the first downs, he's giving you the ability in the fourth quarter to extend drives that leads to game-winning touchdowns or game-winning field goals, I guess that's just what I have to accept.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
And I'm okay with him running the ball. I'm just saying when it's the main source of offense, right, like it was, that's the concern. And to your point, too, like if for the first playoff game, let's say – after, you know, we're doing the players' lounge the next day and they won and they ran for, you know, 250 yards. That's fine. I don't have as much faith as I used to that they can throw it when they have to.
Right.
Like, and that's a concern moving forward, especially when I think the arrow is pointing down on the passing game. So like if they're getting, in my opinion, progressively worse at it as the season goes on, what's it gonna look like come playoff time? Right. And so you're right. Like I don't have to win a Super Bowl or even believe that I can only win a Super Bowl with a quarterback that's a drop back guy. I don't. I think in today's NFL, you have to have a quarterback that can do both. I think mm-hmm. it's too important. It's hard for the defense, all those things. But I'm less sure than I used to be that when they have to pass it, that they'll be able to do it.
Mm. Well, there you have it. Elliott Shore Parks. Jordan Davis, you think is back in how many weeks?
I think he might play this week.
Really?
Jordan Davis, you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, he's eligible to come off IR. Sirianni was asked about it. He said, we'll find out on Wednesday if he's going to practice. Like, in my reading Sirianni tea leaves, that felt like he just didn't want to say that he's going to practice. So
right.
We'll find out tomorrow. But I think if he doesn't play this week, looking at one more week. Yeah.
Be interested to see what that rotation looks like. And one other question. Bringing him back, he's activated, does somebody have to be
Someone
released?
Has to go.
So could one of the
tackles?
I would be surprised. They're not going to let go of Linval Joseph or Sue.
Okay.
In my opinion, just because I don't think those guys come back if they know it's a 2-week thing.
I mean, I hear you. Right. I'm just wondering, like,
well, you know who might go is Britton Covey.
Oh,
and then, you put a guy on the practice squad and then you elevate him.
What? Well, I mean, Greg Ward's on the practice squad, right?
That is Uncle Merle somewhere listening right
yeah.
now.
Yeah,
he's furious right now.
Covey has not been good returning punts. He's been solid. Like, he catches the ball. Like,
no, he hasn't. No, he catches the ball.
Why are you qualifying it? He's
yes,
terrible.
No, he's not terrible.
He's not fumbling it all the time.
He's a disgrace to number 18.
Yeah, because the last 18 was so good, too.
Who was it?
Rager.
Oh, Rager. Yes.
I was actually thinking Jeremy Macklin.
I'm thinking Macklin. Yeah, I didn't think about Rager.
He was. Yes. Playing for the U.S. national team over the
So when Jordan Davis comes back, Covey could be the guy because then you could elevate Greg Ward
for
three
weeks,
times without accounting against your roster. I'm also
pretty sure. Yeah, that's how you know the passing game in trouble. Now we're all the way back to 2018. Yeah. But, I mean, Covey probably also, let's be honest, makes it through waivers.
So, oh, yeah, of course.
So you could probably sign him back to the
There won't be a bidding war if he becomes a free agent.
I think he probably makes it through. Whereas I don't think at a training camp he would have made it through. But now I think
times have changed.
Yeah.
He'd be on a practice
11
squad.
Weeks of, you know, a 10-yard long on the returns has probably impacted him.
Y'all hard on Covey right now, man.
Elliott Shore Parks. Elliott, I'd like to say there's a minute to go in this World Cup game, but I can't say that.
No, there's like 10 minutes to go.
Yeah, because
they're up 1-0. Stoppage time.
Yeah, is that what they did? 9 minutes?
Yeah, and they started to run Gannon soft zone.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Jackie,
they need
Jackie
to send the ball.
I mean, like, listen, can we get some aggression? They're just playing back on their heels, Elliott.
It's 1-0. It's a beautiful game.
Well,
who might
have two goals. He may have.
Yeah, well, it wasn't for offsides.
Elliott, who's the defensive coordinator of the U.S. Team USA?
I mean, I wish it was Gannon, but unfortunately.
You're not sure?
Yeah.
I wish it was Gannon.
There you go.
Yeah.
Elliott Shore Parks. Elliott, thank you.
Fun times as always, guys.
Appreciate it. All right. There
All right,
he
brother.
Is.
Talk to you.